Now we have some musical news, which is to say we have a wonderful amount of Chopin lined up for the first half of the hour, and then something inspired by Chopin lined up after the 12:30 quiz question. And has it been 5 years, Pamela Howland, since you've been on the Midday?
It has, Norman, yes.
Time does fly.
Yes.
And you've, been, of course, not been idle in that 5 years. You're a Steinway artist, and you've been performing for the State Department, and five trips to Poland, which,
yes,
of course, is Chopin's
Lots
homeland.
Lots of trips to Chopin's homeland, yes.
Why this great affinity for Chopin? It obviously goes back a long ways.
Well, it does, and it's partly my heritage. My grandfather was brought from Poland as a four-year-old, and Denver knew the connection until I really visited Warsaw and found that my grandpa's birthplace was very close to Chopin's. So it kind of snowballed from there, and it's kind of a spooky connection that I have whenever I'm in Poland. And I do adore Chopin. So,
well, that's the thing. It's great stuff anyway, right?
Perfect fit,
and
yes.
Possibly no more inherently pianistic composer than Chopin.
I don't think you can find one.
And even his piano pieces, to me, sound more like songs than his songs.
Absolutely, and I think that's going to be a theme of our show today, which is songs at the piano, if you will, without words.
Well, this one has gotten the nickname, as they sometimes do, the nickname in this case being the raindrop, and it's a prelude in D flat, and I'm guessing that, if I remember correctly, there is a pretty distinctive sound that
yes,
gives it that nickname.
Yes, there's a repeated sound that you're going to hear, this note, and it's in three sections. So the first part in the major key is very gentle, might be a gentle rain, but then we have a storm section, and that insistent note prevails, and then it comes back to something like the first.
So here it is, the Raindrop Prelude by Chopin.
Thank you.
It's tempting when you see that title, Prelude, to think this is something kind of technical and laid out, but leave it to Chopin to turn it into a love song.
Right, and almost a nocturne, very similar in style. He wrote 24 of them, and they're each different, so you never know what you're going to get from one prelude to the next.
Inspired by preludes of Bach, but...
yes, exactly. He loves Bach.
Very different.
He takes it to his own Chopin dimension, right, inspired by Bach.
Well, when Chopin, let's say at the age of 22 in 1831, comes from Poland into Western Europe, Vienna in particular, and I think Paris too, he finds that the big rage is not preludes.
Exactly.
It's waltzes.
Yes, and he adored them. And it's more his French expression, I think you could say.
Well, these, of course, the waltzes that were so popular by, say, Josef Lanner and Strauss Sr. were waltzes for people to dance to. But that wasn't what Chopin was about, though.
No, they're highly stylized, meaning that you can't really dance to them, but he takes them as a springboard for his personal, poetic, beautiful, melodic, and I should say poignant and somewhat melancholic viewpoint on life.
There's a lot of the poignant and the melancholy.
Absolutely.
In Chopin.
In Polish, the word is żal, and I love that word because in English we would just say melancholy, but żal is bittersweet, nostalgia.
Or pity even, yeah.
Pity, anger even, and just regret over something that is gone that can't be gotten back, which everyone, I think, can relate to.
And so some of that comes through even in the waltzes. Again, you think
Absolutely.
Of a waltz as an up-tempo, a cheerful, exuberant kind of thing. Chopin takes that form and personalizes it.
Right, and especially some of the harmonies he uses just make it very poignant. Even when he's happy, there's still that Eastern European melancholy there.
Do you want to play these two together and contrast
them?
Sure,
yes, I would love to.
So this would be the waltz in A-flat, which is known as the Farewell Waltz. That's a good romantic title. And then even more famous, the Waltz in C-sharp minor by Chopin.
Thank you.
Waltz in C sharp minor. Before that, the waltz in A flat by Chopin. And although you can exactly dance to those as a couple, they have been turned into some of these Chopin waltzes into ballet music.
Absolutely.
Successfully so.
Yes, they have.
But again, a very personalized, internalized approach to this kind of usually outgoing dance.
Very much a look into Chopin's inner musical and emotional life. Which was complicated, I mean. Extremely complicated.
Yeah. Yes, his love life and, of course, his health, all of these things, his professional life, too.
Excuse me. One of the interesting things about going to Poland and walking all to all his sites and, walking in his footsteps is to realize that he was just a guy. In fact, he was a young man, as you say. He was about 21 or so when he left Poland. But he was just, he was a man. He was a genius, but he was a man with problems like everybody. Women problems, money problems, relationship problems. And complicated because he was so very, very gifted, I think.
But we're tempted to think, because of Chopin, that these problems he's actually expressing in his music, which wouldn't be true, say, of Mozart necessarily or Beethoven.
Exactly. He's really one of the first, I think, the first romantic composer, not only to appreciate the potentialities of the very new piano at the time, but also of that emotional depth and frontier that was to be discovered by all the later romantics.
Well, he did not invent. John Field invented it. Some years, let's say a generation before Chopin, John Field, in fact, and even think that much of Chopin when he attended a concert called him a sick room talent. That was probably because he heard some of the softer, quieter pieces and not some of the more exuberant ones. But while he didn't invent it, Chopin certainly raised to its height the piano nocturne.
Absolutely. There are 19 of them. And I was telling you earlier, I've recorded all 19, and that was a major eye-opener into just learning the Chopin style. I mean, of course, I've been studying Chopin all these years, but there is so much depth, and I don't want to say tricks, but musical conventions, some of which he invented, but you see them recurring in different guises. So each one of these nocturnes, not unlike the preludes that have a different emotional character, are very distinct from one another. And I'm going to be playing for you the last one, which we think he actually began to write when he was 17 and his sister died. And this was the whole tuberculosis connection, which later felled him in his life. But this one is a very brooding piece, although there are little glimmers of sunshine. But each one of the nocturnes, some are just deathly tragic. Some are happier night music. You know, this is what nocturne means, coming from nocturnal. But this is one of my absolute favorites.
So this is the nocturne in E, Opus 72, number 1.
Yes.
Thank you.
Nocturne in E minor, Opus 72, number 1 by Frédéric Chopin, played live here in our Buck studio by my guest today, Pamela Howland. And before I forget and go into the quiz question and all that, I should mention your website, which is PamelaHowland.com.
Yes.
H-O-W-L-A-N-D, PamelaHowland.com. Yes. And how shall we put this? You had an encounter.
I did have an encounter. Oh, an unusual kind of. With Paul McCartney. I'm one of the few classical pianists that I know who also completely adored the Beatles. So Chopin and the Beatles are two heroes of mine, and I had never imagined to get closer than looking at an album cover. But I was playing piano on World Music Day in Warsaw, Poland, which is a celebration that started in France, and it's all about bringing not only musicians doing unusual things, but anybody making music. And so the friends that we have there put a grand piano on what they called a potato cart. This truly was a cart to haul potatoes. And I was hauled through the streets of Warsaw. There were straps pulling it. And it was a most amazing event. First of all, you can never take a piano outside. And it was a beautiful day in Warsaw. And that's unusual. This was June 22nd, I believe, 2013. And so we would go for a while, and I would play. And several other pianists played, took their turn. But there were trams whizzing by, and we'd be on cobblestones. But we finally pulled over in front of Chopin's church, where his heart is. Now, you remember that his body is in Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. Yeah. He had a morbid fear of being buried alive. He begged his sister to have his body cut open, and she indeed took his heart back to Warsaw, and there it is. So I was playing the Raindrop Prelude that I began playing for you at the top of the hour, and just communing with the beautiful day and the music and thinking this just doesn't get any better, when my friends started shouting that there was a limo approaching on my left side, and it was the President of Poland. I thought, well, that's fine. That'll be interesting. But the limo came by, window rolled down, and here's Paul McCartney, who was in town playing a gig that night, had never been to Poland, either solo as a Beatle. And the window rolled down, and he gave me a giant smile and waved, and then a thumbs up. Mm-hmm. And of course, the crowd went crazy, and it really stuck with me, as a giving me permission to incorporate that beautiful part of my musical heritage.
So we're going to hear, I guess you could call some filtering, Beatles through Chopin. And this first tune is actually a Meredith Willson tune, but it's right on the Meet the Beatles album.
That's correct. And it's called Till There Was You.
Wow, Franz Liszt could have some fun with that, too.
Absolutely. All the romantics.
This is, what, maybe the most covered song of all time? It has some superlatives. In fact, the manuscript for Yesterday is in the British Library, right? In the same room as Beowulf and all those other greats.
Well, you know, there's where I think the Beatles, or let's say Paul McCartney, intersect with Chopin. How can a young man of 20 or so write such a poignant, beautiful, melodic, heartfelt composition, interesting harmonies? They have some similarities.
Yesterday. Let's just do the last three. What do you say as a set, Pamela? These are, again, Chopin-inspired piano arrangements of Beatles originals, all three of these, Lennon and McCartney.
Would love to do that and dedicate these to Madison-known Kit Reuter-Foss, wonderful mezzo-soprano, who was my best friend in eighth grade and my Beatle buddy.
Thank you. a confluence of Chopin and the Beatles, courtesy of my guest for the midday today, Pamela Howland.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Thanks for coming back in and sharing. And on your CD, I noticed you actually have a photograph of Paul McCartney giving you the thumbs up from the limo.
Yes, I want your listeners to know that's not a Photoshop photo. Paul McCartney really did drive by, and it's on the CD cover.
It's cute. It's the real thing.
Thank you.
Well, we'll look forward to your next visit to Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.